There we go. Born in the USA. The Biff bringing it strong on 4th of July. Welcome back here to 560 WQAM and a happy 4th of July to everybody. Greg Likens alongside Dave Hyde as we continue on here, filling in for Joe Rose and Zach Krantz on this Thursday morning. Hope everybody is doing well out there. If you want to join us, you can via the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line at 560-22.
I do feel the need to ask a millennial this question, that when you put on that song, you do realize that's an anti-American song, do you?
Can't be. It says Born in the USA.
It's funny how that song is used and misused. It's a very anti-American song. It's about the Vietnam War and his, you know, he's gone to kill the yellow man. I mean, that's the lyrics, and it's
like a protest.
It's a protest song. Yes. So I just feel that on the 4th of July, the need to vent that out there.
Well, now I don't feel so patriotic anymore.
Biff, find "Proud to Be an American" or something like that.
Lee Greenwood, yes. We'll get that out there.
Yeah, from the lakes of Minnesota. You know, get that going.
But 99% of the people think that they hear that.
Well, I've always viewed it this way, Dave. I understand the background, and if you listen to the lyrics closely, because most people just pay attention to the chorus. But, you know, most musical artists, and correct me if I'm wrong, they'll say, hey, it's art, you can interpret it how you want. You know, I've always found that interesting, depending on what type of music you like to listen to, and if you're into, like, you know, examining the lyrics, you know, there's some artists who will flat out tell you this is what the song's about, and there's some that say, oh, no, I like to leave it open to interpretation. So that's how I've always enjoyed that song, is I've interpreted it, you know, I knew about that, but I'm just like, hey, Born in the USA, it seems patriotic.
Yeah,
so,
it does. Yeah. And I remember once a politician, you know, co-opted that into their platform, you know, into their rallies, and Springsteen said, no, you're not going to be doing that, you know, but it's, again, you know, I don't know, I just feel on the 4th of July to be patriotic, to set the record straight here. Okay?
Yeah, we need to be accurate with these
Well,
things.
Not really, yeah. But back to hot dog eating contest.
Right. Yeah, I mean, based on our track record through the first hour or so of the show, that hasn't been a concern. All right, Dave. Free agency in the NBA has kind of hit a standstill to a certain degree. There was such a flurry of activity. First things first, going back to 6 o'clock on Sunday night, it was a brilliant move by Adam Silver and the NBA to move that up 6 hours from what it typically is, because when free agency begins at midnight, like that's just really not good for anybody, right? When the Pat Rileys of the world have to like wait till 12:01, assuming they're waiting, but you know, like to formally contact whoever they're pursuing, that just doesn't make a whole lot of sense unless you're on the West Coast and it's just after 9 o'clock. But 6 o'clock, we saw them move that up, and we had such a flurry and frenzy of activity. I thought it was really entertaining as from a fan's perspective. But after that first wave, it's really slowed down. There have been some deals here and there, but nothing of great significance because we keep waiting on Kawhi Leonard.
Well, Kawhi Leonard does know he's a free agent. I mean, sometimes you look at it, and maybe there's that vacant stare. I'm not sure. Someone's told him he has to tell these teams at some point. He must be waiting on something. The only thing I can figure out, in all seriousness, is the Clippers must – he must have something he's waiting from them. Like, is there another move they can make? Is there somebody else they could get? Bradley Beal trade? I mean, they have a lot of money, even if they sign Kawhi. There's a lot of excess money. Because everything else is out there. Toronto, you know what you're getting. Mm-hmm. The Lakers, you know what you're getting. The Clippers are the wild card in this, in that for a long time he was rumored to be going to the Clippers. You know, what the Heat did, taking Jimmy Butler, if the Clippers get Jimmy Butler, I'm sure Kawhi signs out there, right? I mean, he must be, I don't want to go to the Clippers and be stuck for the next couple years, or certainly as the stepchild of L.A., of look what the Lakers have done. We can't match that if I don't get some help.
Right. And so if we believe the reports, he has met with the Clippers, he's met with the Lakers. And then there was a strange scene that played out yesterday which was eerily reminiscent of like OJ and the Bronco chase that was caught, you know, with the helicopter scene. But this is just Kawhi Leonard landing in Toronto and then driving to like his hotel.
I thought it was more reminiscent of Peyton Manning in South Florida when the Dolphins, Dolphins rumor, and we got helicopters chasing Peyton Manning through Miami Beach. I was like, is this necessary?
I remember when that all played out that way. And, you know, I don't think Peyton Manning was ever seriously considering the Dolphins, but I think as a favor to Dan Marino, he decided to come down here. Maybe he created some more leverage for him elsewhere, and he made the right decision going to Denver. He won a Super Bowl. But I remember that all played out, and then I also remember the aftermath of that when he didn't opt to sign with the Dolphins, and then you have everybody blaming the coverage. Like,
right,
we scared
right.
him away.
He doesn't want this attention.
Right. As if he wasn't used to it, right? Yeah, I mean, this guy has been in the limelight, the spotlight, his entire life thereabouts, and he comes down here. It's like, oh, he can't handle it. South Florida scared him off. I don't think so. But
I think there are about 20 other issues before you might get to the helicopter following him.
Yeah, it may have had something to do with the roster. Maybe it had something to do with upper management, the
chance
structure.
To win a Super Bowl, a lot of issues there.
All of those things.
That have borne out, we should say, in the last decade, too.
Yes, they have. But it is like the instant reaction of the fan who's loyal to the team. Like, oh, you know, it must have been the reporters'
Blame
fault.
The media. Blame
right.
the media.
Too much exposure.
We got big shoulders. We can take it.
Right. But so with Kawhi, this is what we know. There's a couple reports. Over the last couple of days, Mark Stein from the New York Times said this on Twitter. The Lakers, as we've been saying for more than a week now, believe they are firmly in the lead, largely through the recruiting efforts and assurances made on separate fronts from Magic Johnson and LeBron James. Officials from both the Lakers and Clippers appear to be determined to say as little as possible to avoid upsetting Kawhi's camp when they have insisted on total silence. The Raptors haven't backed off one centimeter, and Drake is said to be mounting his own recruiting campaign on top of whatever the freshly minted champions are doing to convince him to stay. All via Mark
what
Stein.
What would Drake's recruiting campaign be?
I don't know.
What? I'll be midcourt for you every game?
Well, is this similar to the way Magic Johnson has gotten involved in this, where like they're technically not part of the organization, but they're still involved in this whole thing?
And does Magic help?
That's hard to say. The Magic Johnson dynamic to me is fascinating because the one report, and again, we don't know what's true with Kawhi Leonard, but everything seems feasible. But if you believe the report that came out that said that he wanted to meet with Jeannie Buss and Magic Johnson and no one else. And so basically, if you put that in perspective, that'd be like you showing up to a job interview and saying, I don't want to talk to the actual hiring manager. I want to talk to the previous hiring manager who now has no input on the decision, but that's all I wanted. Who I want to discuss.
There
this
are a
with.
Lot of odd elements that from the outside, when none of the main players are talking, at least publicly, from the outside, it's really hard to get a handle on. Because you not only have, in this instance, Magic Johnson, and that bizarre component with the Lakers, but you got Kawhi Leonard and that bizarre component of decision making and, just his whole, I don't know, public persona, I guess, at this point. And so you can't get a handle on any of it. I hope he stays in Toronto just from a basketball fan standpoint. Not, you know, he can do whatever he wants, his life. I'm not, judging that. But from a basketball standpoint, a fan standpoint, I don't want him to go to the Lakers, and they have three of the best five players in the league, and the NBA is so predictable as it is. You might as well just say, okay, that's why free agency is interesting to me. Nobody is for sure what's going to happen.
Right.
In the league, you're pretty much for sure what's going to happen, unless, like with Golden State, two of your top three or four players get hurt.
Right, and depending on what Kawhi Leonard does, I agree with you. I mean, there's a really extreme side of both of these things, because if he joins the Lakers, then they're going to be the favorites, right? It doesn't matter how they fill out the rest of the roster. They're going to be the favorites. But if he doesn't, then you feel like, yeah, the Raptors will be favorites because they're the chance. But I still feel like it's kind of a wide-open situation for the first time in a long time, because if you go back to even the start of the Big Three era down here in Miami – for those 4 years, the Heat, whether they won the championship or not, they were the favorites. And then immediately after that concluded, the Warriors or the Cavs, but really the Warriors became this dominant force. And so I think, Dave, we're on the precipice of potentially having a more wide open, you don't know what's going to happen on a nightly basis, let alone in the playoffs, scenario in the NBA. And I think that's something that would be really healthy for the league. To the juncture, to the point you were making, like instead of us all looking forward to what's going to happen in the future, right? Like even when the NBA Finals is going on and we're seeing the Raptors potentially do the unthinkable and take down the Warriors despite who's hurt, like after Kevin Durant got hurt, like nobody was talking about the outcome of the game. Everybody's talking about like, what is this going to mean for his free agency?
Yeah, right? It's very it's bizarre component ahead, in sports.
That, even during the championship series.
Yeah, you look at in our business, my business, the newspapers and all that, the number of people reading the free agent stories in the NFL or the NBA is more in many cases than actually are reading the game, you know, about the stuff that's actually happening. The trafficking of hope and the future is the greatest thing that I guess that the people are interested. But to your point, like the East has gotten better in this offseason. Mm-hmm. You know, the East and the West is more interesting. It's been flattened a little in part because Golden State's injuries carrying into next year. But also Golden State has made a couple of fascinating moves. D'Angelo Russell goes there. They got Sacramento's center Willie Cauley-Stein, yep, who you know, so they've made the best out of a real difficult situation. They're not going away.
No, and, you know, you take Klay Thompson. We don't know how long his injury recovery is going to take, but he could be back before the playoffs next year. And, yeah, so they're still going to be a viable force, to be sure. I do think, though, with this Kawhi Leonard situation, there's a couple of things that we've learned, is that despite the fact that these NBA teams and the Adrian Wojnarowskis of the world or the Mark Steins who we mentioned or Shams from The Athletic, any of these guys who are like the insiders who talk to their sources.
Their sources are agents in 90% of the cases.
But NBA teams and agents can actually shut up and be quiet and not reveal things. Like we've learned that during this Kawhi Leonard situation because we don't know really anything that's happened. Like when's the last time a big time free agent was going on a tour and taking his meetings and we didn't hear some details come out about what the presentation looked like, who was involved in the meeting?
You know, I think in part they've all learned from LeBron's the decision and the fallout of that, which was tip your hand ahead of time and let people get used to this idea in slow idea that LeBron's going to the Lakers. You heard that a year ahead of time in whispers and so when he actually went to the Lakers, there wasn't this, oh my God, LeBron's going to the Lakers. Just like when the decision, that was a stunning move.
Right.
Right. And so Kawhi goes back to the old school here of just shutting it down, which comes natural for him, I think, in his camp. But, you know, will it be a great surprise if he does any of these three? Probably not, because that's what we're down to right now.
Well, yeah, we've got the three. We've kind of known those three for a long time, even though, you know, the report emerged over last weekend that maybe the Knicks and he would join forces with Kevin Durant. But
the Knicks,
yeah,
that's a whole different conversation.
That's a whole different story. We got more on Kawhi. Plus, I do want to, while we're on the topic of the NBA and kind of the new landscape of the league, you just laughed at the Knicks. We'll talk about their plight this offseason as well. Stay tuned. Much more to get to here on QAM. Ah, here we go.
He's got his hand on his heart, too.
Well, he's got...
Except it's not on his heart.
It's the other way around.
Side.
Yeah.
You know, I have to still produce. I can't do it perfectly.
Wait, so... Dave, you said that, and I'm looking at Biff, and he had his opposite hand on the other side of his chest. Like, your heart is on the left side.
I thought he had a congenital problem or something.
I thought I was looking into a mirror or something. Here we go. Turn it up, Biff. 4th of July.
Who
Proud to be an American. There we go. Who's have a power surge?
We just did have a power surge. I'm really happy nothing turned off.
Wow. Hopefully we're still
Lee in
the
Greenwood's
air.
Still bringing it.
Yeah.
When he's got that power surge in the middle of his song.
Some fireworks at 7:20 in the morning. Well, welcome back here to QAM. Greg Likens alongside Dave Hyde. We are proud to be on this 4th of July. And so we wanted to make things right because, as Dave accurately pointed out, Biff played Born in the USA, which is a protest song. So we played Proud to Be an American. That seems more in the spirit of Independence Day. We've been talking about a lot of different things. If you want to join the show, you can. Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line 56022 is how you reach us. Dave, a couple of the things on this Kawhi Leonard situation. So Kawhi obviously doesn't want any leaks in this. With that being said, I don't know what to believe because if you follow the rumblings over the last couple of days, it's been he's going to go to the Lakers, going to go to the Lakers, going to go to the Lakers. Then yesterday, Jalen Rose was on ESPN and said, quote, what I'm 99% hearing is that Kawhi Leonard will be returning to Toronto, end quote, among other things. So you already said you'd like to see him return to Toronto. To me, it's any scenario but the Lakers. And I will not begrudge him if he joins the Lakers because at this point, like I had an issue with Kevin Durant joining the Warriors and I just continue to criticize him because he joined a 73-win team, a team that he blew a 3-1 lead against in the conference finals the year before. He basically couldn't beat him, so he joined him. Kawhi Leonard, I think, has, because of the winning he's done in both San Antonio and now in Toronto, he's free to choose wherever he wants to go. It's not like he's pursuing a ring. Like, he's won his rings. He's won his finals MVPs. I would agree with you that it would be much better for the competitive balance of the league if he goes to Toronto or even the Clippers. I mean, maybe that would be interesting to have two LA teams that are relevant. But I don't want to see him in a Lakers uniform. But if he does, then I'll just respect the decision. But that would seem to go against everything he's been about. And again, we don't know him very well, but one thing we do know is that kind of independently, he has taken down a couple of quote-unquote super teams. So it would be odd if he joined forces to create another super team.
Yeah, from the local perspective, it would be an odd decision. Look at Jimmy Butler, what he did. He left a very competitive Philadelphia team, contender for the East anyways, yeah. A rising team. They haven't really hit their ceiling probably yet. And he left that for the Heat, who, let's face it, they're the sixth team in the East probably. Okay. But he left a situation where he was probably the third option, even though in a bizarre standpoint, he was the go-to guy at the end of games. But he was in their pecking order, the third at highest guy on that roster, and now he has a chance to have a team built around him. If Kawhi goes to LA, it's LeBron's team,
right?
Okay, no matter what Kawhi's at, no matter if you think Kawhi and LeBron, as I do, are pretty much equal at this point in their careers, talent wise, and Kawhi younger certainly is going to be around a lot longer. From the public persona, because of who LeBron is, it's his team. And he's joining forces with Anthony Davis and LeBron. So it'd be, here Jimmy Butler went from a winning team to a team that, okay, I want my own team. Kawhi would do the opposite. He would go to a team where there are superstars there. And the only question is, how do they all make it fit together?
That's a huge question in my mind. And so I wanted to ask you about the at least perceived recruiting pitch from LeBron to Kawhi Leonard. So Adrian Wojnarowski on his podcast with Ryan Russillo that they posted a couple of days ago, Ryan Russillo said this about what he's heard about what LeBron was going to say. He said that LeBron's pitch, or at least part of it, to Kawhi is that this will be Kawhi's team in 2 years because LeBron wants to play with his son, Bronny, regardless of where that is, and would leave to go play with him when he's eligible. And also says, for the first time in his career, LeBron is willing to defer the style of play to help the others around him. And also is telling Kawhi that if you're going to bother to come to L.A., you need to come to the franchise in L.A., the Lakers and not the Clippers.
Well, here was my first take on that, which was more about LeBron. When he says he wants to play with his son, if his son gets a contract in China, when he says, I'll go play with him, and I'm serious, is he saying, I want to go play with him so much, I'll go to China or wherever? He's not going to all of a sudden get a spot, I wouldn't think, in the NBA. I mean, there's so few players who get that, you know, one a year or two a year when the 1 year and done, one and done is over with.
Well, his son, by the way, just so people are aware, is currently 14. I think he'll be 15 once the basketball season rolls around. So we're talking another 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the one and done rule will still be in place. We also don't know if his son's going to be good enough to go straight to
now,
the
NBA. Now, a other team in another country would take him with the idea of, well, we'll get the father. Okay,
very
you
true.
Get that.
Yes.
You get that standpoint. So maybe an NBA team would, for that matter, as well. But very bizarre pitch. If I'm Kawhi, you just want a title. You, again, who knows how Kawhi thinks, but he has to think, I'm the best player in the league, because that's how the five best players in the league think, right? And I don't need LeBron to give me accreditation of okay, this will be your team in 2 years. I'm more surprised LeBron didn't say, come here, we'll be equals. It'll be like the big three, you know, revisited, you know, rather than saying, hey, in 2 years, it'll be your team. That's a very bizarre recruiting pitch.
Right. The whole thing seems strange to me. Plus, I don't fully believe, Dave, that LeBron James is ready to defer his style of play to anybody, Kawhi Leonard, Anthony Davis, or otherwise. Like, I just get the distinct feeling that LeBron James, He this past year didn't work out the way he wanted it to. He was injured, and they kind of had to mail it in. Obviously, everything imploded in the locker room once the Anthony Davis trade rumors popped up, and nobody could trust LeBron because they thought he was trading him off the team. And then he had the first offseason in, 8 years, in which he was actually able to rest? And I
think since 2010,
films Space Jam and whatever else he wants to do. So my thought process is there are a lot of people who have doubted LeBron James. He's going to come back. Yes, he's going to have a better supporting cast, but he's going to come back. He's got something to prove. Even as he's getting to his mid-30s, I can't envision him going into a sales pitch and saying, hey, I'm going to just take a step back, and now you guys are going to be the features. I know at some point he'll have to do that in his career. I just don't think he's ready to do that now.
Well, and how many athletes say, oh, at age 30, I'll be ready to retire? Then age 30 comes, and they love this. This is who they are. That's their identity. And LeBron saying 2 years, I'll be ready to step back or it'll be your team. Okay, you get to 2 years. And if he's in this shape, and the way the NBA is going, it's not as physical. You're allowed to take time off during the regular season, a lot of time off during the regular season. There's no back-to-backs pretty much anymore. So it's players are extending careers. You know, you're capable of playing deeper into your 30s than the previous generation. So there's no reason LeBron couldn't, you know, have huge impact into his late 30s. So the question for me is, if Kawhi goes there, we saw it with the big three, how difficult it was for LeBron and Wade to decide who was going to be the go-to guy.
Right.
You know, and I remember Spoelstra saying they'll have to sort it out themselves. And eventually, I think it was February or March of that first season, they did, in which LeBron asserted, you know, he was going to be the go-to guy, and Wade deferred. But that was obvious who was better at the time, right? I mean, it was obvious LeBron, as good as Wade was and as important as he was, at that point, LeBron was a better player. I don't know who's better, Kawhi or LeBron. I mean, they both won championships by being the go-to guy. And, you know, that would be a much more difficult, and boy, I'd love to be out there writing it as a columnist, because it'd be great to watch.
Yeah, you imagine? And I don't know, you know, if Kawhi Leonard joins to that point is how they determine it. It's not like Anthony Davis is some slouch, right? I mean, you can make that argument, like you said, three of the top five players in the league, depending on where you rank everybody. And so, you know, and the other part of this is you get it, the talent, doesn't matter what position, all that stuff, and positionless basketball seems to be the craze, but what are they going to do with all these guys? Like, LeBron going to play point guard, Anthony Davis, and then you got Kuzma, who's like their fourth best player, and they're all like very similar in terms of the style and what they bring to the table.
Yeah, I'm sure it's sort of like the Heat. They'd be able to go out and get a few guys that, in fact, they probably could get them now. And everybody's waiting for the next move for Kawhi to fall into place so they know what they need or know where they can go. But if they get again, three of the top five players, their depth isn't much. Oh, so what? In the playoff series, will you play 7-8 guys anyways, and you have three of the top four guys on the court, you're going to win.
Yeah, you are. And I think that everybody who has brought this up, this could be the best, if it happens, super team that we've seen, in the sense that you have such top-end talent all on the same roster. That being said, what will be a fascinating after effect from this, from a local standpoint, is the conventional wisdom seems to be that if Kawhi Leonard does not go to the Lakers, then the Lakers could be a landing spot for Goran Dragic. And so, the Heat are kind of waiting because they still need to cut some salary before they can make this Jimmy Butler thing official on Saturday. So, it's not just that, hey, the Clippers, the Raptors, and the Lakers are waiting on this. There's other teams as well. And then, a lot of these free agents have signed, but like Danny Green's still out there, Marcus Morris, who are, of the guys available, still decent players, and they're waiting too. Like, which team am I going to go to? But if this takes any longer, and not that Kawhi is taking longer than others have in the past, but if this goes any longer, you wonder if some of these teams / these players just are like, hey, I don't want to wait any longer for the money to dry up or the opportunities to dry up, so we got to sign whether Kawhi's made his decision or not.
Yeah, and you see that it would help these teams if Kawhi would tip his hand a little,
like if the Clippers know, hey, it doesn't look like we're going to get him, then
right.
They can,
we can move on to whatever plan B is.
Yes.
But the interesting thing in the Goran Dragic thing, yeah, I get the Heat. They want to get off the hard cap and get rid of salary. They need to, all that. But Goran Dragic is fascinating. Where's his hope lie? Here he has a chance. He goes to the Lakers, he can win a title and be in one of the either fun or a circus, one or the other, probably a little of both on depending on the day.
Right.
At near the end, as he's getting towards the end of his career, it'd be a great way to go out. Or does he enjoy playing with the Heat in that franchise so much that I would think he'd rather play with LeBron and Anthony Davis in L.A. would be so it's more than just team. I'm fascinated by like a good guy like Dragic. He's the ultimate nice guy in sports where he wants to go.
Yeah, and then I also wonder if the Lakers sign Kawhi Leonard and then the Raptors are basically going to be what they are without him, and the Clippers at that point, they're going to have to respond accordingly, but the Mavericks still have the cap space. So I wonder if that would be revisited between the Heat and the Mavericks. And to your point, if Dragic wants to go and play with Luka Doncic,
right,
his fellow Slovenian. So maybe his heart is there as well, depending on.
And the Mavericks are, again, one of those teams that's really out of nowhere from a year ago between the draft and the trade, the bizarre trade as in retrospect for Porzingis. From the Knicks' perspective, all of a sudden the Mavericks have, they're a rising, a very interesting team.
They are, and they have cornered the market on Europeans, right?
Yeah.
They really have. They just signed
and vowels and bizarre spellings.
They signed Boban yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that. Now that, there's another. You're right.
Yeah. So Boban's there. The Maxi Kleber, who's one of the forwards, has been there already, but he's from Germany. Obviously, Porzingis. And Doncic, and maybe Dragic gets in the mix, and Dirk just retired, and so that seems to be their specialty.
Dallas, of all places.
Yeah, of all places,
but so they get Dragic, and all of a sudden they become the Euros.
Seriously, yeah, that's like the United Nations team versus everybody else. Now, you brought up the Knicks a couple of times. Dave, you've been covering, sports in South Florida for a long time. At one point, the Knicks-Heat rivalry, I'm sure at some point maybe in the future it'll heat back up again, but that's something that's real, and that there's some bad blood between both fan bases and the whole deal. What do you make of what's going on with the Knicks? And it's not just that they have been bad, but the fact that they finally maneuver to get enough cap space where they could be a player in free agency. They've done it in the past, but like this time around, it was supposed to be they're going to do it the right way. There was a conversation just as of a few months ago that they were going to get the number one pick in the draft, win the lottery. They'd have Zion Williamson and then Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, and they would be the super team, and all would be well with the world again. Madison Square Garden, the Mecca, would have the greatest product in the world. And now, a couple of months later, Zion's in New Orleans, and Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving have decided, you know what, we'd rather go to the other New York team and play in Brooklyn, the team that's always been the afterthought in that market.
Now, that's the shocking point to me. Not only, and I got to admit, great entertainment value for me from the outside, just that Brooklyn is the team and not the Knicks. You can draw a line of when two franchises changed, which was when Pat Riley met Mickey Arison on his ocean liner, you know, in Boston and negotiated to come to the Heat. From that point, the Knicks have gone down. Now, it didn't immediately happen because Jeff Van Gundy took over and they went to the finals. But that was really and Jeff Van Gundy's talent speaks for itself. But that was still the remnants of Riley's creation with the Knicks. But two franchises changed when Riley came to the Heat. The Heat have become what they have, which is for the most part, look, they've won three titles. And the Knicks have become slowly and then very quickly became a clown show for the last 20 years, you know, and to the point, James Dolan might be the number one villainous owner in sports right now.
I don't think that's overstated.
Dan Snyder would be what the Redskins would be, but I guess the Redskins aren't a complete clown show. They're close, but the Knicks, I guess, would be the strike up the calliope, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, and you know, it's the crazy part of it. You're looking at dysfunctional franchises in American sports. You know, we many times in the past we'd say the Cleveland Browns would be part of that, but now they seem to be on the up and up, and things are moving in the right direction. But you're right, like James Dolan. Not only for the way that the team and the product on the court has been so bad, but also just like two mere facts that everybody now knows about. Like he kicked out a franchise legend from the arena in Charles Oakley. Yeah. And then he also
had him arrested.
Had him arrested.
Yeah, and just, or whatever, you know, escorted out by police.
Yeah, like that all happened and caught on camera. And then you had the fan who sees him while he's walking into the tunnel. And the fan didn't curse at him, didn't say anything that was obscene, but just simply said, "Hey, Mr. Dolan, sell the team." And then like he takes away his season tickets and kicks him out. What's wrong with that guy?
And the amazing thing about – they're still going to the games.
Yeah.
They still go to the – it's still called, as you said, the Mecca. I mean, someone's got to come up with a parody of that at this point. I mean, it's such – James Dolan – and he plays in a band, a rock band. I forget the name of that, too. Yeah. But there's such great comedy coming out of the Knicks that – yeah, you know, it isn't even a Heat perspective. But as you mentioned, they used to have this great rivalry in the late 90s. But especially now, neither team is consequential enough that the rivalry – I mean, those were playoff – that rivalry centered on actual playoff. One team lives, one team, you know, goes into the offseason.
Right.
And that's long gone. So this is just, for me, just – comedy at this point.
It is, and it keeps delivering in New York with the New York Knicks. If you want to join the show, you can via the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line, 560-22. Dave, we're going to change things up a little bit, and I know you aren't aware of this whatsoever, but I thought you might find this entertaining. And we'll just, next segment, we'll play this for you. And we're not going to spend too much time on it. But just to set things up, and I'll fully explain it next segment. But you hear the promos on our station that run throughout the day. And at night on CBS Sports Radio, 10 o'clock, Scott Farrell does his show. Farrell on the Bench. And he's got the very distinctive voice and, you know, and everything. He's got cool energy and all this stuff. I appeared on his show two nights ago. And I want to play you a clip from that. We'll have that next here on QAM.
Radio.com. Creep on in, on in. See, I'm riding high. Whoa.
some brew and I might just chill. But I'm the type that like to light another joint like Cypress Hill.
We're back here on 560 WQAM. Greg Likens alongside Dave Hyde filling in for the big dog Joe Rose and Zach Krantz on this 4th of July morning. Hope everybody is doing well out there. Matt the Biff Wilson with us as well. We're taking up until 10 o'clock. That's when Chris Whittingham, Alex Solana will be here. So we got a lot of local programming here on this 4th of July. Appreciate everybody tuning in. If you want to get involved in the conversation, you can via the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line, 560-22, 560-22. Dave, so I want to get into a couple things. We've got some people texting in about the Knicks and everything. We'll get to some of that in a little bit. But a couple of nights ago, I got a text, and they invited me to go on the Pharrell on the Bench show because they want to talk about Jimmy Butler and all the exciting news going on with the Heat. And so, you know, most people, if you listen to QAM, you know that, you know, Scott Farrell's on at 10 o'clock. He used to be a host on QAM, you know, a number of years ago, and it was on satellite radio and now on national CBS Sports Radio. So I said, sure, I'll go on. I was scheduled to go on about 10:20 or so. And we do the first segment, and I just thought it was going to be one segment. And then he's like, hey, in his own way, he's like, hey, Greg, can we bring you back for another segment? I want to talk Panthers and Dolphins and Hurricanes and all this. And so I'm sure, sure. So I come on for another segment. So this is the tail end of the 10 o'clock hour. And at one point, he asked me about Josh Rosen. And I'm explaining to him that, you know, that Ryan Fitzpatrick has looked good. We're not sure if Rosen is going to be the starter. And we're kind of going back and forth on that. And then, Dave, this is the setup. So I'm going to play you this clip. So we just finished, and you can hear, I guess, the tail end of my answer the way Solana cut this up. But you can hear me talking about the Dolphins quarterback situation, and then there is this segue that is made. And I'm just going to let it speak for itself, and I wanted to get your reaction.
Let's go.
Here it is from just a couple of nights ago.
Long-term fix is a quarterback.
So I go to games, as you know, and so I go down there, and I'll hit a Dolphin game always. And I have a picture of I'm sitting there with I'm sitting there with my buddy, and I'm just minding my own business, and I don't know, I think these chicks figured out whatever who I was or something, and the next thing you know, I got this they wanted to take pictures with me, and I have this picture with these two fat chicks, and they're both double barreled giving me the finger like behind my head at the Dolphin game. You should see this picture I have. These chicks are hammered, they're fat, they're ugly, and they're drunk, and they're a complete blast because they're just absolutely going to fall over drunk in the parking lot when the game's over, or either that or go get arrested. And they're both giving me double-barreled fingers in this picture. I have it on my phone. It's the greatest picture ever at a Dolphin game. You'd love to see it, but it's really filthy. Anyway, last question for you, Greg.
Anyway, back to Rosen.
Did he ask me a question about Derek Jeter?
And did you say, let's get back to the double barrel fingers coming at you?
I said before I talk about Jeter, that what you just described at the Dolphins game is the most entertaining thing that's happened to that stadium in a long time. I mean, my goodness.
That's just a typical Sunday in Section 212, isn't it? I mean, that happens everywhere.
That makes me want to go attend the game as a fan. I mean, right? I mean, you go to the games, you sit in the press box, and we watch the games. And, yeah, unless there's some miracle finish against the New England Patriots, it's got to – you know, it's a normal Sunday, but yeah, I'd need to go attend a Dolphins game as a fan after hearing that story.
I'd like to see the picture. Did you get a look at the picture?
I have not seen the
text
picture.
Text me the picture.
I have not seen the picture. No.
How do they recognize him? Does he talk like that? I mean, is that his normal voice? In all seriousness, that's his normal voice?
That is his normal
voice.
So
that's probably how they recognize him, let's be honest. Oh, my God, what is that? Jackhammer. Do that again.
You have a problem with my voice, man.
That's good. That's
back
not bad.
It would have been great.
See, I think everybody should have one impression. Now, I don't have an impression. I'm awful with them. But that would work for you. That's good.
Yeah, you got that down, Biff.
Thank you.
But I just thought, like, you know, I'm in the middle of hearing this, and I'm thinking I want to, you know, do a good job and, you know, represent the station well in South Florida, whatever the scene's going on. And then he tells that story, and then he goes, all right, finally, let's get a Derek Jeter. And I was like, wait, what?
Let's go back.
Are we just going to skip over what just happened there? Like,
there was like a Robin Williams quality in that his mind went elsewhere. You know, like his comedy, Robin Williams' comedy, all of a sudden he's doing all these non-sequiturs. I think Pharrell went there, and then he tried to bring it back to a sports talk show.
He did, but that's why you just never know from him. So he's very entertaining. The voice is certainly different, so you know some people like it, some people don't. But 10 o'clock every night here on QAM, you can hear that. And for the first time, I was going to say occasionally. I'm like, no, that was the first time I've been on. I don't know if I'll be on again, but you never know when he's going to tell a story about, you know, fat, ugly women double-fisting him with the middle finger.
And going to pass out in the parking lot.
Right. So anyway, Dave, you know, on a 4th of July morning, I thought we'd change things up a little bit. And Biff, you got any more for us in terms of your impression? Can you do a segment for us with that voice? Can you do a hot dog eating contest take with that?
Well, personally, I think that Joey Chestnut's only going to eat 61 hot dogs today. I don't think he gets near his record, you know. Seems like he had a little bit of a heavy lunch so far today, according to ESPN.
Okay, yeah, maybe not a full segment, but that's...
It would be brutal.
Yeah. On another note, we didn't get to this before, Dave. We don't want to spend a lot of time on this because I know actually a lot of the shows have talked about this quite a bit. But Biff, do you want to defend yourself with this basketball thing? Dave, have you ever played in the Heat Media Challenge?
One of my general rules is do not show professional. Even though I get it was a media contest, they're professional. But don't show them your skills.
Nobody from the Heat team out there.
Good or bad, you don't want to impress them too much? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying, look, I've played media. I know what we look like compared to people who are actually used to looking at high-level competition.
Well, Biff, so what was your issue with Solana? Because Solana, who produces now the afternoon show, he gave an account of what happened. And he's going to be on after us, actually. But he gave an account of what happened. And apparently there was a lot of uproar because, I don't know, Biff, you can speak for yourself, but other people who played representing Entercom said that it was an inaccurate account of what occurred.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, everybody on the team was horrible. There's nobody good. Solana wasn't good. Duarte definitely made no shots. Hollywood had like two plays that were like, okay, wow, he crossed up the girl from Channel 10, Nicole Perez.
He
crossed her up, but it was maybe like, it was watching like your grandpa cross somebody up. It was like the slowest cross I've ever seen in my life.
Well, listen, I don't want to be sexist or anything like
Here
that.
Here we go.
And we're talking,
if you play pickup ball, you know, I know where you're going with this.
Like you're saying that the highlight for Hollywood was that he crossed up one of the female competitors.
Yeah, but he didn't make the shot after either, so it's like it wasn't really even a highlight. Yeah, and then he made a three, but it was also a game that we lost like by about like 5 points.
Well, what Solana told me, Dave, is that they played three games and they went 1-2. Our Entercom team, which was both 790 and 560 represented together, which in and of itself is quite a thing. But so we had six guys out there for this 4-on-4 tournament, and in a three game span, they go 1-2, but they only scored 4 points in the three.
Yeah,
games.
That's I heard the low scoring.
I think we got about five.
Well, either five, four or five. It's the same thing.
Now, where were you? Where were you, Greg? You play ball. Right?
I was working. I was on the weekends. I'm on our sister station 790 The Ticket, and they invited me to play. And I said, well, I'm not gonna just not do my normal shift. And so I couldn't make it. I played in it like 5 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago for QAM. But yeah, and now I got so here. This is what this turned into is that some of the folks who played on the team started calling me out because I didn't play and started questioning my ability. And so, I'm just not going to stand for that, Dave. So I got to defend myself.
I was out there. I don't know. I've never seen you play basketball before, but I'm sure you could have been the best player out there. You could have been the best player out there. I mean, I'm going to say I didn't make a shot. I played like Joel Anthony out there. I was getting – the only thing I was good for was rebounds.
Joel Anthony.
See,
they're challenging me, and I'm thinking to myself, well, what am I supposed to do? Like, just because you guys all took the day off of work to go play some basketball and score 4 points in three games – I was still, somebody had to.
You have a work ethic. You have a work ethic. Well, that's what we're and probably a good mid-range jumper too.
Take it even further back, Dave. Yeah, I got NBA range.
Oh, here we go. I love when media people trash talk with their games.
Well, it is hilarious. I do think that part to me is the funniest element of this is because everybody's guilty. Everybody's guilty, especially in the media, because you go into all these sporting events. And so at some point or another, whether it's basketball or any of the sports, you know the media members have said, oh, man, that guy's terrible. Or, oh, man, what's that guy doing? And all this stuff. And in the grand scheme of things, anybody who has even sniffed an NBA court is so much better than, I mean, you have to understand, like Dave, you've been around these top-level athletes. I played against guys who played low-level college basketball, and they are excellent players. It's like the degree of how good these guys are that actually make it to the pros, I think for a lot of people, you just don't fathom how good they really are.
See, here was the argument we would have on Press Row back when I actually, every week I'd play basketball.
Okay.
What was the 15th player on the Heat, who is now Udonis Haslem, we'll say.
Mm-hmm.
Could you get 1 point off him
right
in a game to 11? Could you get 1 point off him? And my answer was always, you have no chance. If he wanted to play hard, you know, the only way would be if he just slacked off on defense.
Right. It gives you a wide open shot or something.
And you're going to make 33% of them or whatever, you know. Yeah. But if he wanted to play you hard, not only would you have no chance to score, you would have a hard time dribbling, making a move, and actually towards the basket against that type of athlete.
Yeah, because a lot of people forget that they're all, you know, like Udonis like 6'8", 6'9".
Yeah, right. And if you come down in size, you're going up in speed and quickness.
Yes.
Which you have no chance to score against a pro athlete. Even you, Biff, with your game.
I would say let's modify that, especially you, Biff.
Hey Greg, there's a hoop outside.
Here we go.
You want to play during the break?
We can do it.
We're gonna go. We'll take it live out there on the court. After,
are we allowed to live stream that, or do we have to get the lawyers involved?
We may have to.
Okay. Hey, let's take a timeout. We're gonna come back. We'll keep having some fun here on QAM. Kick off the 8 o'clock hour. I do want to get Dave's thoughts, what the Heat have done so far, and whether they're done yet with their flurry of activity. We'll get to that next here on QAM.
Radio.com. Radio. Radio.